Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest. We don't get to do Games Daily enough together. Andy Cortez.
Not nearly enough, Tim Geddes.
I love that you're still rocking the Jubilee jacket because X-Men 97 Episode 3 came out last night.
Right, which I still haven't watched it, but also this shirt had yellow in it.
So you got to go for it.
And I was like, I don't want it to be a limited thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to catch people off guard. I don't want it to be one of those things where suddenly I walk in with a tattoo in my face and everybody goes, whoa, that's kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Ease it in. Make it a regular thing, mm-hmm. You know.
That's what I did with the chain.
Well, there's also like a purple one.
Everyone commented, then no one comments anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I won or they just lost. You know what I mean? Either way, I'm feeling good about it.
I think you made me one.
Thank you.
I think you made me one. Did you see, by the way, the very, very, very good fan art that Nerf Alice made of me? It's a great tweet.
It's so good. Nerf Alice, but
if you scroll down in the replies, I photoshopped Jubilee's goggles on me, and Nerf Alice, maybe she quote tweeted it, god dang it. But either way,
I thought you were talking about that.
No, that was just me like putting the goggles on top of the forehead.
So good.
And then Nerf Alice ended up drawing me like super flashy with the fireworks and everything. She gave me a very, very complimentary sort of cheekbone structure, which I appreciate. I don't know if I've seen cheekbones on my face since I was like 18, but it's fantastic.
Oh, that is so cool. I can't wait to watch. I have not seen episode 3.
Neither have I.
Yet either, but we'll have to check that out. But we are talking about some Marvel stuff today. Woo! Maybe there'll be some X-Men. We'll have to wait and see, because today's stories include, we got the first details on Marvel Rivals, some deets on Ken Levine's new game, Judas. People have played it, Andy.
Yes.
People have played it. Really excited to hear what they had to say. And more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday we get together to talk about all of the video game news that you need to know. Of course, you can watch us live on Twitch or YouTube. You can also watch later on YouTube or podcast services around the globe. If you wanted to go above and beyond, though, Kind of Funny membership is what you want. You can get it on YouTube or Patreon. It gets you the show ad-free. You can watch a bunch of shows live as we record them, and you get our daily exclusive Gregways. Always a hoot, always a holler, everybody. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovasapien, and Delaney Twining, for all of your support. You help make all of this cool stuff happen. Cool stuff like some of the housekeeping we got for you today, Andy. Our Stellar Blade preview is up as a Gamescast right now. You can get all of Andy Cortez's thoughts on Stellar Blade. And if you're watching the video right now, you can see the camera zooming in on Andy. Andy had some thoughts. He had some takes. Andy re-reviewed Dragon's Dogma 2 for Kind of Funny.
Justice has been served, mm-hmm. Tim. You know, mm-hmm. The whole internet is, you know, they're saying thank you. The Lisan al-Ghaib has answered. Uh-huh. You know, he's here. The prophecy was foretold, and I basically just got to gush about Dragon's Dogma 2, as well as talk about Stellar Blade demo, which was a great time.
Yeah, so you can check that out. And then also me and you played a little Princess Peach Showtime yesterday, the first couple hours. You could watch the gameplay stream of that. And on the Gamescast, we got into a little bit more about our updated thoughts on that game. Moving on to the next piece of housekeeping, though, we got a very special gaming live stream brought to you by a very special partner. Of course, we're talking about NVIDIA. You know them for making our favorite GPUs. Andy, you love that buttery smooth goodness, right?
Frames win games, Tim, mm-hmm. And also just, I mean, ray tracing, all that stuff. If anybody's ever watched me like do streams at night, you know that I am like my father, mm-hmm. my father before me.
Of course,
I get in the settings and I just love switching things around.
Yeah,
Horizon Forbidden West, by the way, has a phenomenal like lets you kind of see in real time you changing cool. all the NVIDIA ray tracing and everything. So I love tinkering with settings, and I love whenever NVIDIA says, "Hey, we'll give you money to talk about our cool shit."
Exactly, 100%.
Very, very excited about
cool things like them adding a whole bunch of fun things to Diablo 4. So that's what we're going to be doing today, everybody. Returning to Hell, we got Andy, we got Greg, we got Mike, and we got Joey all joining together. NVIDIA partnered with Blizzard on the launch of Diablo 4 to put performance-boosting DLSS 3 in-game, so we got to show that off a bit. It's so buttery smooth on the 40 series GeForce GPUs. As of just yesterday, though, Blizzard updated the game with NVIDIA to put advanced ray tracing effects in the game, including reflections and shadows. It's like hell, got to glow up overnight, Andy. I'm not certain if blood reflects, but we're about to find out together after this. So yeah, right after the show, we'll be live on Twitch and YouTube, all the normal places, and you can watch the boys and girl have a fantastic time in hell with all of the fun NVIDIA goodness.
Looking forward to it.
Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It is time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
We got them both, and it feels so good. Story number one, Marvel Rivals has been announced. NetEase Games and Marvel Games are excited to announce their latest collaboration, Marvel Rivals, a cooperative superhero team-based PvP shooter that lets players assemble an ever-evolving all-star squad of superheroes and supervillains while battling with super unique powers across a dynamic lineup of destructible maps from across the Marvel multiverse. Marvel Rivals is currently in development for PC by a NetEase team composed of global talent who previously worked on hit franchises such as Call of Duty and Battlefield. Before we get into all the bullet points and stuff, Andy, would you like to sit with me and watch this trailer?
I sure would, Timothy.
Let's get it going.
World premiere.
Called Rivals First Stand trailer.
You'll need a top-notch team to win this one.
So you're looking at this, you're like, this is 100% going to be a League of Legends type MOBA. And then you see the gameplay here, and you're like, wait a minute.
And then it kind of starts to pop off, Timothy.
Yeah.
And I think the thing I'm most happy about is the art style.
Mm-hmm.
This art style is striking. This art style looks like they're taking this shit serious.
Yeah. The portal, come on. That is so cool. Yuri voicing Spider-Man, I was reading.
I mean, Namor, come on.
Your powers are mine.
So we got word here. We can say that. We can say the fact that we've seen this trailer a couple days ago, and we all freaked out.
Yeah.
Because we all were like, let's see the new NetEase Marvel game. Yeah. All right. And we saw this. We're like, wait a minute.
I want to walk through our reactions to how it was in real time watching this. But so far, this looks like it's, you know, it seems like it may be a lot more melee focused in some instances and some heroes, but kind of reminds me of Spite Smite,
yeah,
or predecessor, Paragon / predecessor, you know?
I mean, it just keeps going, man.
And Galactus is a baddie, like, fantastic.
But can we ask for more? I'm not so sure.
So, Greg is in the office and says, hey, brand new trailer for a Marvel thing, super embargoed, super NDA. Who wants to come watch it? All of us are like, sure, let's gather around Greg's desk. And I'll be honest with you, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
But in my real-time reactions, and I feel like all of us kind of had similar feelings and thoughts, we see the NetEase logo at the beginning. And I went,
I think all of us did.
And then we start to see these sort of like, not in-game graphics, but more of like the animatic sort of visual things. And I go, they're making a MOBA. It's going to be like a mobile MOBA, which again, nothing against mobile gaming, but it felt like it was going to be lesser than.
Yeah.
And then the in-game gameplay starts and it starts popping off and it's flashy and cool. And it's not a trending towards realism art style. This isn't a Marvel's Avengers, right? This is like a much more flashy, over the top looking game with kind of like cell shading on the characters, but it reminds me of like if Marvel versus Capcom came to 3D and somehow like this is what the best way that they
could
transition
it. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And all of us were kind of like, oh shit. Oh, wow. Every like 5 seconds watching a new enemy's ability. a new like enemies kit. Oh, how's this character going to be implemented into the game? How's Rocket Raccoon going to be? How's Iron Man? What are the different classes? Once we started looking at it deeper, it got very, very exciting. But yeah, just first off, the art style is really, really damn cool, Tim.
And it works. It does my favorite thing, the Smash Brothers thing, of allowing every character to still have their unique things about them, but it's a cohesive look overall,
right?
You know, where it's like, it shouldn't make sense that some of these characters are all next to each other, but it totally does. And it doesn't get in the way of Spider-Man. When he jumps, he has that Spider-Man jump, you know, the way, right, Magic is like projecting her magic, yeah, compared to how Doctor Strange
the K,
is
without the K.
Exactly. It's different, right? And I think a great thing about that trailer is it was unexpected and it looks cool. We still need to play it. There's still a lot of question marks. There's still like whatever. I'm just saying this was a pleasant surprise, and they kept up in the ante with character reveals. Obviously, the female Galactus, very fun, very exciting. I think that kind of shows like the potential of what this game can do. I am unfamiliar with this as a character in any of the media of Marvel, but I mean, that could
be their own creation.
It could be their own twist and turn on it. What's fun is I remember when the Marvel Snap trailer first came out, and it was, you know, Marvel Snap digital card game. So the trailer was just CG fun, let's watch a fight type thing. And it was cool, but it was very leaning into like characters that were around in movies around the time that was happening, like America Chavez, and then just like variant type characters. They were really trying to get across like, all these cards are going to have a ton of different things. There's like a big ass like Hulk Buster that like looks like Black Panther. Like, just like, let's get weird and mix and match.
Right.
This seems a bit more like, no. Let's just give you the Spider-Man. Let's give you the Loki. Let's give you like what you actually would expect from these characters. Not an MCU way like Avengers tried to do with that realistic look stuff, but more of like actually inspired from the comics, what people actually want to experience as these characters. And there's a ton of them. And even getting like Penny Parker from Into the Spider-Verse, like I like that they're pulling from a bunch of different mediums of Marvel, and it looks like a blast.
Yeah. One thing that does worry me right off the rip though, Tim, is 6v6.
Okay.
I am worried about the player count requirement there. You know, we see a lot of multiplayer games can sometimes have trouble, whether, you know, this game will have no trouble at the start filling up lobbies, but I do worry about the necessity for a 6v6. I was hoping for a 4v4 type game, and we'll see how chaotic these things can get, but clearly they're going for 6v6 because I got to assume they know that pairing certain heroes together and having these sort of like tandem combo moves that we saw in Namor and another character do. I'm not sure exactly who that was.
Was it the magic woman?
Luna or no?
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar too with
Luna
that.
Luna Snow. Luna Freeze would have been a little bit cooler, I'll be real with you. But yeah, so it seems like they want these combo moves to exist. They want player synchronicity. Yeah. I am worried about that as a call overall, because we've seen how, you know, the Overwatch community has somewhat soured on going away from 6v6 and making the game more single player independent, where solo players can really kind of carry the load for the team and, mm-hmm, you know, really pop off. And that has taken away some of the need for really, really good fine-tuned teamwork, right? But at the higher levels of play, that's super necessary. At the lower levels of play, where Johnny and Mary are getting home from work and they, mm-hmm, just want to hop in to play a little arena shooter with their friends, they don't need to be super in sync in that way. I do think 6v6 still feels a little too hardcore for me, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. A little more details here. We're getting a vast array of fan favorite and cult classic Marvel superheroes and supervillains from across the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, X-Men, and many more from across the Marvel multiverse, with the alpha test in May. Players will have access to more than a dozen playable superheroes and villains, including Black Panther, Spider-Man, Magneto, and Magic. So, May, not too far till we get our hands on this. Are you excited to try this one out?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm super stoked. Magneto's, like, we saw yesterday sort of leaking the character card sheet. So there may be some heroes on that character card sheet that didn't necessarily get to show up in the trailer. Maybe they're somewhere in the background. But, yeah, I'm super stoked to try this out. It's mainly the art style that shows me that this is like worth trying out. I think it's like such a nice attempt at getting creative with the way Marvel can look. You know, I haven't seen this in a while from Marvel, aside from Snap. You know, Snap likes to do a lot of crazy things with a lot of different artists. But I'm just, yeah, you're right about the cohesion with the art style here. It kind of reminds me of like what Fortnite does, where every character can look like a Fortnite character. Yeah. I love the visuals here. I love even this little move that I guess that's magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That little like red sort of beam that came down from the sky, or whether it was from the ground or whatever. The visuals kind of remind me of Valorant with some of the particle effects that they're going for. Everything's just super ultra stylized, and I think it's the best call for a Marvel game, because I didn't really want to see, like, I think of how Marvel's on the Switch game, Part 3, Marvel...
Ultimate Alliance.
Kind of went for a little bit of a cel-shaded look on Switch. It, you know, what didn't necessarily look amazing in any way, right? But I'm just happy that this team is, like, taking a swing here with the visual style. And I think that... And that enough kind of shows people, oh, they're taking this shit serious. Maybe I should give this a shot.
There's something about this that, like, they're taking it serious. Like, that's the vibe. I feel like that's the takeaway, where we see NetEase at the beginning and we all kind of roll our eyes.
NetEase
and then
nuts.
By the end of it, we're like, I want to believe in this one. And, like, yeah. Even Marvel Rivals, I think, is a cool name. Like, I don't think that that could work for everything, but the way they presented it here, for some reason, clicks with me. And I'm just most impressed by the art style combining with how accurate these characters seem. Like, the way that Hulk was moving that we just watched, I'm like, yeah, it seems like he has the white right weight to him. And when we see Rocket running up the side and like jumping off, it's like I can understand how this game feels. I just can't wait to get my hands on it and see if it actually feels as good as it looks.
Yeah, I hope it works out, right? I mean, we always talk about what a daunting task it is to enter the current multiplayer ecosystem.
Yeah.
And this may have seemed like a game similar to Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, where it almost feels like a game out of time. And we've seen not necessarily the same level of property in terms of fame, but like Gundam attempt things like this, trying to come out with making a 4v4 or 5v5 arena shooter with objectives, pushing the payload, things like that. And they ultimately will find their demise. I hope Marvel still has the juice to make this a product that lasts for a while. It being free to play is also, you know, pretty, I think that instills me with confidence that this game will have a player base for a decent amount of time. I believe it's free to play. Yeah.
I'm not seeing anything here that says that.
Oh, shoot.
I imagine.
Where did I read that? Did I dream that then, Tim?
I do not.
I may have dreamt it. Sometimes my dreams enter reality, Tim.
Oh my God, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
A couple other things I want to shout out here is they're talking about having all the different maps be actually based on Marvel locations, which I think sounds like an obvious thing, but you don't always see that. You know what I mean?
That looks like Asgard kind of in one of the maps in there.
So they're talking here, tear your way through iconic Marvel worlds across destructible environments from Asgard to the Tokyo of 2099. Use superpowers to alter these environments. Like, I like that, because you think about the Avengers game and it's like, oh, where are we going to fight? It's just like, okay, this weird barren forest, like this big area. It's like, all right, cool. And then New York, whatever. But like,
I'm seeing a lot of different websites say free to play.
Okay.
IGN, Variety. So that's, I think that instills me with confidence, because the player base will be there at the start. Will you have the juice to continue?
Yeah. Exactly.
But I like having a large player roster at the start. Like,
I think that's very cool.
That's
even
fantastic.
For the early access to it or whatever. Like that sounds exciting. And also, Yuri being the voice of Spider-Man is another one of those things where it could just be money, but it also could be confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, we've seen Marvel games take many swings, and they've hit for the most part when it comes to the projects that they've partnered with people on. And there have been some, like, failures, I would say.
Sure.
Even. There have been some that maybe haven't, like, hit as high as a Spider-Man, but looking at this, I'm like, I want to believe.
Yeah, I want to believe too. I'm trying to send Barrett the more of the overview of the roster. It's not necessarily an overview, it's just all the little character picture cards or whatever. Because I like seeing, again, the character art looks very, very similar to what they're going for in terms of how to translate that to 3D.
Mm-hmm.
These are just like 2D illustrations of the characters, but Magneto rocking like an all white suit with like this sort of like red trim around his face. Namor looks awesome. We see Penny Parker down there. Star-Lord, you know, these are like just familiar enough to where I think that they work for people that are super, when Marvel's Avengers came out and we were like, that's kind of Steve Rogers. That's kind of like
kinda,
Chris Hemsworth, you know. I think these are like just close enough. But yeah, I love the character art. I'm excited to see how well it plays. We're pretty close to it then.
I know. That's wild.
Yeah.
Moving on to story number two here. BioShock successor Judas is a procedurally generated roguelite. This comes from Haley Williams at GameSpot. Would you have expected that?
How many times do you assume this person has gotten the Paramore reference? You know what I mean?
Thank you, Andy.
Like, they've got to be so tired of it.
That's not what I was saying.
Oh, sorry. What were you telling me?
I was saying, would you have expected the BioShock successor to be a procedurally generated roguelite?
Sorry, I went straight
not
to
Paramore. Not would you expected the lead singer Paramore Look, to Tim, have written this article.
Tim, Haley Williams for Paramore was on my MySpace page. Like, you know, I was in love with this woman. Still am. I'll love her till the day I die. Sorry.
But let's get into it. BioShock creator Ken Levine's Judas has been in development for almost 10 years.
The way my brain works. What the fuck is wrong with me?
And now his studio, Ghost Story Games, is finally ready to show what it's been working on all that time. While Judas is still a narrative-driven FPS in the style of...
I'm just like earlier Tim was like, it's not often we get to host it with each other. We probably never will again. Like, this is probably the last attempt.
I love it, man. While Judas is still a narrative-driven FPS in the style of the BioShock games, it's also a procedurally generated roguelite set in a dynamically shifting open world. Here is what we know so far. Judas is fundamentally built around a concept Ken Levine calls, quote, narrative Legos, which he has been refining since his GDC talk by the same name all the way back in 2014. The concept mixes procedural generation with bespoke building blocks of narrative or dialogue, creating a game that can react to a player's decision in a way that feels natural. We call it pseudo-procedural because it's not like Minecraft where everything's being generated off a set of pure mathematical heuristics. Levine explained in an interview with IGN because he's a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
Love it though. You build all these smaller piece elements in the game, and then you teach the game how to make good levels essentially, and good story, and most importantly, reactive to what you do. One of the most obvious ways this comes across in Judas is through the player's interactions with the game's three main non-playable characters, the ship's former leaders, Tom, Nefertiti, and Hope. The characters appear to Judas as holograms, and she can build relationships with them or end up on their bad side, often angering the other two if she does a favor for one. With the relationships always dynamically changing, so too will these characters' interactions with Judas. If she's annoyed with them, they might reveal her location to enemies or stop her from accessing an important resource. If she's on their good side, they may autonomously help out in combat or otherwise aid in an objective. Those scenes can happen anywhere, and there's tons of those different kinds of interactions. The dialogue can happen anywhere they appear to you. They're not in cutscenes. You don't have to watch them in cutscenes. They'll appear wherever you walk, wherever you look. Another big departure from BioShock's classic formula is Judas's roguelite elements. In Judas, death is just a part of the journey. In fact, the game opens with Judas being brought back from the dead. Health is purposefully scarce and not always easy to access when surrounded by enemies. Levine clarified that Judas is not specifically a roguelite or a strategy game, but it does pull elements from those genres. You do have the opportunity when you die to go change yourself, he explains, though. He explains, though adds that he doesn't want to give too much away. Improve yourself, change your tool chest, which is a pretty broad and variable tool chest, and change the Mayflower itself. Despite the departures from the BioShock formula, it appears Judas will fundamentally familiar to fans of BioShock, especially the weapon setup of having a weapon in one hand and an elemental power in the other. It's expected to release by March 2025 and will be available on PC, PS5, and the Xbox Series.
Perfect. Give it to me now. This all sounds fantastic. And I think especially with all of the stress that Levine is putting on these narrative Legos, which I know that you can get kind of eye-rolly at every once in a while and just be like, all right, man, where's this game at? You know what I mean? But I think I am most excited for the fact that he is stressing this system so much. And I don't think there's anything cooler in games than when NPCs or situations react to you and make you feel like the creator, the developer's presence in the game. Like, that's some of the coolest shit to me. The fact that Baldur's Gate did it in spades. I love when Elden Ring does it whenever I, or any FromSoft game, when I walk back to that one NPC and now they got shit to say about the thing I just did. And I'm like, oh, wow. I love that this feels realistic in a way. This feels like these NPCs are living and breathing with me. And that's why, totally separate topic, but you know, Ubisoft and Nvidia talking about the AI dialogue and all that stuff. I agree with so many other people where they're like, yeah, but I'm impressed with dialogue when I know that like a human wrote it. You know, that's like so much of the human element that really, really impresses me. So I'm stoked to kind of get to these moments in the game that I can feel the presence of the creator here and being like, oh shit, they knew this would happen. Now I'm getting, it's the just the if then, then that happens sort totally. Of situation that happens. What's up, Barrett?
I was listening to the Friends Per Second podcast, which everybody should go listen to. Where they, I think it was like right after they had played 5 hours of it, and talked about their initial thoughts. Understandingly, like that they framed it as like a pre-preview because it's like a very early version of what you know the team is making. The kind of two big things that I took away from that, and they also had an interview with Ken, I think, in the second half of the show. You know, it's they're talking about a lot of these previews, like procedurally generated. But like their big takeaway, it didn't feel procedurally generated, which I think is very appealing to me. Of like those worlds and those stories from BioShock is like really cool. But like the first thing I heard of like, oh, it's kind of roguelike-y and procedurally generated for Judas, I was like, oh man. And then hearing them talk about it and their experience with it, and I think the whole point is to not make it feel like it is, I think is really cool. And then the other thing of like kind of reacting to how you play it reminds me a lot of how they were talking about it. Metal Gear Solid 5, which I've never, I haven't played, but I've been told of like, if you start getting a lot of headshots, eventually, like armor, like soldiers are going to start wearing helmets and stuff like that. Like it seems to
my
be
nightmare.
Reacting to like your type of like how you play stealth, how you play like guns out and all that stuff. God. and so, like, as someone who is also like kind of reactionary when like all of the previews started popping up, I think yesterday I was like, oh man, this is not what I want. Like, actually, like. If you have hesitation with it, because I see some people kind of being like, ah, this doesn't seem for me, like, listen to some of the people who played it, because I think it's more of, like, the back-end stuff that they're trying to, like, structure around roguelite while trying to make what you're playing not actually feel like that, so.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, because, like, I am one of those people that I hear some of these words, and I'm just like, man, I love BioShock. I don't know about this, but I am interested in how... It seems like the vision of it doesn't stem from how do we get a lot of replayability out of this. It feels like how do we make this experience an experience? And to your point about the creator, I value that. I feel like adding the tech to the substance of gameplay and story, like I feel like that's the goal, and so I'm here for it.
When you can marry those elements in a way that seems super seamless and like it's really hard to even notice where the seams are, like that's the stuff that's most impressive to me. And I mean, I would love to hopefully have an experience in the way that Deathloop continued to kind of, you know, build upon this experience with you. It started to build upon this story, and yes, you were going back and doing runs, but the world was changing and evolving with you, similar to even Hades, which looks more and operates more like a roguelite on its surface. But I loved going back to that hub world and seeing what everybody else had to say about that run, or seeing how people's thoughts and dialogue options were changing from run to run, and how those relationships would evolve. Like this sounds extremely exciting to me, and I love a first person shooter. I love a campaign first person shooter.
Yes.
You know what I
yes.
mean? It's very, very exciting to me.
Yeah, totally.
And really I've always loved the stylistic sort of art style that Ken Levine has gone for with the old BioShocks, and this looks very, very similar in vein.
In line,
getting a little bit more cartoony with their proportions, but still what it looks like using, you know, some of the best lighting and rendering tech possible. Very, very exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm. A little more from you here, and from GameSpot's Eddie. Ken Levine has no plans to retire, but hopes to make Judas follow-up faster. BioShock designer Ken Levine has said he has no plans to retire, saying he wants to keep making games for as long as people will keep playing. Paying him to make them. Speaking to IGN, Levine said, "Making games is so central to my life, and he doesn't plan to walk away anytime soon." There was a huge time gap of 10 plus years between Levine's last game, BioShock Infinite, and his new one, Judas. So if he keeps making games after Judas, he said he hopes the next title won't need to bake as long before it's ready. Quote, "I have no interest in retiring. So long as people keep giving me money to make games, I think I'm going to make them, and maybe one day I'll have a change of heart, but it's so central to my life. Outside of my family and my wife and my dog and my friends, it's really where I find meaning, and it's how I express myself." Levine did acknowledge that the road to release for Judas was a long time. However, Levine said his team at Ghost Story Games has now a system in place that should allow for the company's next game to be developed in a much more truncated period. Very cool. And again, this is another one of those examples that we've been talking about a lot recently with storied developers leaving a big developer, a big publisher to start something new and taking bigger swings than they might be able to have the resources for. And we use examples like Callisto Protocol, right? And seeing, I forget the other team that PlayStation just shut down, but I want to root for these things. I want this to be able to happen. I want a new form of AAA to come up. And I'm hoping Judas is going to be a great example of that. And I feel part of that is the ability to come out with a great game that people like, but then also an understanding of creating a pipeline to be able to keep creating. And the Strike Distance with Callisto just showing off that new Callisto spinoff game that looked pretty damn cool last week. It's like, that seems like an example of them trying to do this as well, of just like being able to put out a follow-up in a, like, hopefully not too long of a time frame to get some more wins, get some more funds, and also provide more value to the gamers out there. So excited to hear that they're not only stoked on Judas, but then also being able to think about next projects and coming up with a pipeline for them.
I just had to reply to my thread with Ken Levine, my tweet thread that dates back to March 27, 2018. I tweeted at him in 2018, "Hey, what you up to?" And he replied, "Working on video games." And I replied, "Nice." And then I followed up 4 years later, and I think that's when we maybe first saw Judas.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Great job, Ken." And then I just replied, "Can you send me a build of Judas? Thanks, man. It seems cool." So hopefully, like, we're building the relationship.
Yeah.
We're getting like a roguelite. Like, mm-hmm. I'm starting my run again. Uh-huh, you know uh-huh. what I mean? I'm restarting this run with this relationship. I would love to maybe try it out early as well.
You'll love to see it. You know what else you'll love to see? Supporters over on patreon.com/kindoffunny or with the membership over on YouTube. They get the show ad free. But for everyone else, here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They're on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top-quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. Their tangle-free collection is perfect for all hair types and is their hottest-selling style. These shades have specifically designed nose pieces with long hair in mind for ultra comfort so you'll never have a snag in your hair. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays. Whether it's Tim looking dope in his Pokemon Go walks, Snowbike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or me just looking fantastic in my tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use the code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And we are back with an Open Roads review roundup. The Metacritic, right now it's not rated. I don't think there's enough games, enough people reviewing it yet. But we do have some people. I want to give you a theme. Just blah, blah, blah. Hard to say things sometimes.
Sure, of course.
The days, Andy, of being able to say Steam or Stream without fucking them up are gone, like the days of GameSpot and GameStop.
Steam Deck, Stream Deck.
It's just so hard.
Yeah.
It's like, why is there a deck for both?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? The Steam description is as follows. Long-lost family secrets, hints of a hidden fortune, and miles to go before they sleep. Tess Devine's relationship with her mom. Tess is Caitlin Dever, and her mom is Kerry Russell.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool.
Celebrities.
Has never been easy, but they're about to set out together on a journey into the past that they'll never forget.
God damn.
RPGFan.com gave it an 80. Jerry Williams says, Open Road is a brief, affecting tale that isn't going to change lives or revolutionize gaming, but it is undeniably charming and comfortable despite its difficult themes. By this point, you'll know if you're the kind of gamer for this, but if you're still on the fence about the quality, rest assured that Open Roads feels lovingly crafted and has a distinctly human story to tell. If you were at Tessa's age, like me in 2003, you may even get more out of it, though your mileage may vary. IGN gave it a 6. Sarah said, propelled by a star-studded cast and charming retro world, Open Road's tale of family tragedy stumbles over its heavier themes, delivering an earnest but ultimately safe road trip mystery. Pottering through meticulous environments full of kitschy decor was at least enough to keep me entertained for its short runtime. However, with sharp teeth and no bite, I was left hungry for something meatier and more emotionally charged by the time the credits rolled. Rock, Paper, Shotgun did not rate it, but Alice Bell said, it's the sort of game where, from one point of view, not a lot really happens, and it's almost surprisingly short, wrapping up in the region of 2 or 3 hours.
That sounds lovely.
I know it does. But by the end, something has shifted between Tess and Opal in a way that lets you imagine the story continuing. The real Open Roads was, unironically, the friend we made along the way. And then Greg Miller says, it's a Greg-ass game. This is the team that split from Fulbright, i.e. Gone Home, so it's a Gone Home-like game. That sounds like something Greg Miller would want to talk about.
You're goddamn right it is.
Oh, Jesus. He's about to spit a promo out here.
How you guys doing? It's me, Greg Miller.
Good. How are you, Greg?
Hey, good. Greg. You're looking great. You're looking great.
Hey,
I'm glad you're getting more use out of the Jubilee jacket.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a very, very nice sweatshirt, by the way.
Thank you. I got it at, my wife got it from some Twitch streamer she watches. Twitch.tv/AndyCortez, I believe.
Cool.
It's very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you for sending it. Andy sent it to me for free because I made a crack. Like, hey, can I get it for free? And he's like, well, no.
I was like, I'm gonna take it down soon. He was like, I'll get one to wear. I was like, all right, I'm gonna take it down soon, but I'll surprise Big Greg.
It was a surprise.
Yeah,
I was surprised. Open Roads, ladies and gentlemen, a game I've been looking forward to since announcement. It is out. Joey and I are gonna talk about it on PS I Love You tomorrow. So okay. I line up with these reviews, I think. I enjoyed it more than IGN did. I would be higher on the scale than that. I'll save my review score for tomorrow. But if you're a Greg ass gamer, if you're a Janet ass gamer, if you're a Joey ass gamer, this is a really interesting one. I thought the story was compelling. I think the art style is really good. It's very interesting, right? I don't know if we watched the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking around, going home, like picking up the things, interacting, reading or whatever, but then they have your character and your mom, you pop up and talk to each other, right? And it's animated, like they move around and do their thing, but their lips aren't. Uh-huh. And so it's like, you know, an easier animation, right? But it's actually so compelling, and the performances are so good that I just let it play. Like, I could read ahead and skip, but I didn't. I just put the controller down and would let them talk. I enjoyed the ride, though. And okay. So short version is it's a thumbs up from Greg.
How long was it for you?
Yeah, 2 hours. Joey said that, and that's what I clocked it as. I think my PlayStation clock says 2 hours as well, so plus or minus on either side of it. I broke it into 2 sessions just because of life. But
Gia's obsessed with Kerry Russell.
Oh, really?
You think
really?
She's really good. I didn't know any
person on the planet was obsessed with Kerry Russell.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I am not one of them, but there are so many Felicity really? Heads out there.
I know
obsessed.
There's like, look, Russell I know there's heads. Fans, right?
Oh,
like,
no, I mean, there are people that put my Ghostbusters fandom to shame with their Felicity fandom.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
She is one of them.
It's like Firefly.
I think it's honestly a game she would enjoy, not only for Kerry Russell and the performances, but also then the narrative and what they're doing with
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
Because it is one of those, like, okay, I was playing and I was like, oh, this doesn't seem as compelling as something like Gone Home, right? Or Tacoma, even. And then they get to the kicker. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, and it is very, you know, as they talk about it, it's a mother-daughter story, right? It's very forward on, girl power and stuff like that in terms of who they are and what they're doing. And I like that, obviously, that kind of narrative. And that even goes back a generation with how they tell the story.
Cool. Awesome stuff. Open
PSLV
Roads.
Tomorrow, everybody.
You can check that out.
Open Roads.
Do you know what it's on, Greg?
Huh?
Do you know what it's on?
All alone.
Do I get a 100?
Papa Roach. You're not going to back me up at all on the Papa Roach.
Broken home. Oh, wow.
Yes, Jesus. Yeah. I believe it's on everything, right?
It's on literally everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Not an intense game in terms of what, you know, would run for you.
There we go.
Druvenator's yelling Game Pass, but I can't confirm that.
Oh, yeah. So is DG Mayor. Game Pass. That's cool.
Game Pass.
Check it out, y'all. Game Pass,
pass up
baby.
Your life.
Pass up your life, everyone.
Don't let your life pass you by. Greg singing Spice Girls.
Yes,
the way
he
out.
Is. Story number four here. GameStop faces unsustainable sales decline. Damn.
That's gutting.
Fuck. Like, what a couple words next to each other. Okay, GameStop faces unsustainable sales decline, cuts jobs to control costs. This comes from Priyanka G and Harshita Mary Verghese at Reuters.
Readers. Reuters. Right. It's Reuters. It is Reuters.
Video game retailer GameStop opens new tab, said on Tuesday. Sometimes I just read things and I'm just like, I don't even know what they're trying to say. Tuesday, it had cut an unspecified number of jobs to reduce costs and reported lower fourth quarter revenue.
Wait, hold on. Did you maybe like copy paste like open new tab or something?
Greg built the doc.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm wondering if like open new tab was accidentally pasted in there or something.
That is,
I don't know.
Because that doesn't make sense. Did I just get bananas? sorry, first off, I do not mean to be laughing as much at for a layoff story like this. There's just a lot of shivers that I'm trying to get through.
Yeah.
My bad. Let's try to center ourselves here. Tuesday, it had cut an unspecified number of jobs to reduce costs and reported lower fourth quarter revenue amid rising competition from e-commerce firms and weak consumer spending in an uncertain economy. Shares of the Grapevine, Texas-based company, tumbled 60% in extended trade. Quote, an increasing mix of digital downloads is hurting physical retail, and there's simply no reason to go to the store if a consumer can just order a game and download it immediately, Wedbush Securities analyst Michael Pachter said.
But how are we going to get them Funkos?
It's a very good question.
Think about that.
Revenues are highly unlikely to rebound unless...
Do you want me to read this, Tim?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Please. Revenues are highly unlikely to rebound unless management figures out a way to drive store traffic. Quote, I suspect that they will keep trimming costs to generate break even or better. Oh, break even's a term, Tim. They will keep trimming costs to generate break even or better. But it is inevitable that their sales will decline to an unsustainable level. Pachter said.
So this has been a story that we have covered since the beginning of Kinda Funny, talking about the slow ball of GameStop. And there's been rises to the moon, some would say, throughout the years.
Sure.
But all of this is not surprising. We've seen GameStop struggle over the years to try to adapt. Like, the Funko Pops are a joke, but they're also a reality, right? That is them attempting to shift the business. We also see like their business with Game Informer and how they've even like yesterday, was it that they announced that they're putting out the subscription only version for you to support the amazing team over at, amazing team over at, Game Informer that is very, very small, trying their best to get great games media work out there. And, you know, this is them, this is this team without me knowing this for sure, but this is this team really trying their best to be able to protect themselves and show value as much as possible in a world where GameStop is making less and less money because there is less and less value to what they are offering. And that's not going to change. In fact, it is only going to continue as we see. I mean, how many times do I need to talk about how sad it makes me that physical media in terms of movies are just non-existent now at Best Buys and Targets and soon to be Walmarts, which means where are they? Besides enthusiast places like limited run games, but for movies.
Right.
And games are going to continue to go that way. We're seeing more and more small games never even have a physical release. We're seeing more and more big games not have physical releases. And if they do, they're through limited run games. And I think that that trend is going to continue to happen, which means GameStop is going to be even more and more up against the wall and trying to figure out how to bring in the revenue. And when we start looking at the future of console gaming, of what is the next PlayStation going to look like, Xbox going to look like, at what point is there no disc drive at all? Because that's just an old way of doing things. I think it's going to be sooner than most people would like.
I mean, like, I'm still shocked that it has taken this long, at least, right? Like, we knew that it was going to be a steady decline. And I'm still somewhat shocked at times to be at the mall when we go watch a movie or whatever at Stonestown and to see people inside of the GameStop. So like, I don't think it's the end quite yet, but you're right. Like, I think it will happen pretty soon. It also is kind of wild to think of my time working at Best Buy, even in the last 2 years, though, everybody wondering, are we going to be around in 2 years?
Yeah.
And like, and that was 2015 or no, not even shit. It was like 2013, 2014. So it's crazy that things definitely take a lot slower of a time to eventually dwindle and die off. But I don't really know what the pivot could be. I don't know if there is a pivot.
That's the thing, right? It's like they've tried desperately so many times. I mean, even with the NFTs and even trying to sell digital, which just doesn't really make sense for how people do things. And like, again, we talk about this a lot, but smartphones changed everything. The understanding of apps and app stores, people are used to that. It's easier to translate that information and that understanding to something like a video game console where you're like, oh yeah, a game's out. You don't think I need to go to a store to buy a game. You think, oh, I download it. My credit card's already on file. Like, that's just normalized. So
do you think there's a possible pivot to the more enthusiast side of the type of physical stores where you are seeing a lot of retro hardware used? Here's that orange GameCube that was hard to buy. Do we see that as a possible pivot?
I think we already see that, and I think that is a niche thing, right? Yeah. I've been going down a very fascinating rabbit hole, very sad rabbit hole, but also very like empowering in some ways rabbit hole on YouTube of
people, rabbit holes a lot of things.
Jack. People that own people that own retro game stores and that are just trying to make it work, and like they're putting out like, hey, like last month, like despite how much success we had, we're down 150K.
Yeah.
Like, we are not, it's not working. Or it's like, hey, this month we're up $60,000, but we need a lot more to be able to get more inventory to keep going and like keep doing stuff. And it's like fascinating to see these small businesses try, and they need to have a lot of things to bring in the appeal of having enough people want to come. But then once they sell some of their more prized possessions, they don't have them anymore, you know? So it's like, it's a really hard thing to try to figure out, but I don't think that GameStop has the ability at the scale it's at to do that type of thing well. Right. And I think that they've tried. They've tried to become the hub. They've tried to become the place to get game demos and like exclusive events and stuff. And we've seen Best Buy find more success with that, where they've partnered with Nintendo back in the E3 days of like, hey, for 3 days, like you get to, people get to come play the demos at the store. It's like, that was their best attempt. Yeah, 100%. That was their attempt at it. And I just think it just doesn't work in the way that we all kind of, in the internet age that we are well into at this point. It's not like it's a novelty. It's more of like a standard. So the novelty is the going to the store experience as shown by the numbers. So yeah.
I would love, like in an ideal world, I would love for these stores to kind of become, not all of them, right? Because there's still like a lot of locations that you have to account for. But I would love to see more official Nintendo stores.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that like whenever I go to New York, that's always like I love that it's a place to stop by, but I hate that that's really like the main place.
But that makes it a thing though, right?
It does.
Like that's, I think that that's part of its success.
But I wish there were 10 around the country. You know, this is a completely different conversation. This isn't helping GameStop in any way, but I would, in terms of just helping physical media stores, put one in fucking in Texas, put one in LA, put one in, you know, like I would love to see, I think that could be not necessarily the most profitable of things, but a place where people can come together to watch that new big reveal, all the Smash heads out there, all the people, we always see amazing. That one reveal in the Times Square store, right? Yeah. Like, that would be really awesome if that took place in more areas.
You're right that this is kind of a tangent conversation, I do think we're going to get one in Florida and LA because of the theme parks. Like, I think that it might not be like a full-on Nintendo World store, but I do think like the expanded, like, Downtown Disney type vibe. I think that they will create those scenarios, which is great.
Did we get Mario on the stripper pole?
What stripper pole?
You know, like in that one in the New York store, Mario's like kind of like really sexily posing in the flagpole.
We can only hope.
Looks very suggestive.
We can only hope. Story number 5, $400,000 worth of Playdate game consoles disappear in Las Vegas. This comes from Steven Totillo. $400,000 worth of Playdates. I didn't realize there were that many Playdates in existence. That's a shit ton. Because how expensive are those things?
I'm on it.
Probably like
five. That sounds like a lot of Playdates. Like
$5,000.
You know what I mean? But like, yeah, no, you're right. Like, you're right. Sounds wild.
Yeah.
And that does not sound good for Panic.
No.
No one at Panic, the company behind the Playdate console, knows.
$200.
Yikes. That's wild. Knows exactly what happened to two pallets stacked with 400K worth of the palm-sized portable, but the circumstances around their recent disappearance in Las Vegas certainly sounds suspicious. It's a bit of a true crime drama. This sucks. co-founder Cabal Cable Saucer says at the Game Developers Conference last Friday. Sasser was holding court during a rousing panel near the end of the week-long event. His presentation covered the ups and downs of Panic's first console, the $200 square handheld with a monochrome screen, yellow buttons, and a crank. Panic had faced early skepticism from the public after it announced the Playdate in 2019, but sold out of its pre-orders in 17 minutes in 2021. The Playdate was nearly ruined when its launch units arrived from their factory, all with faulty batteries, forcing repairs that delayed launch from 2021 to 2022. Since then, the Playdate was dropped by its shipping company, but Panic found a new one, got dropped by its factory, they're switching to a new one, yet has managed to sell 70,000 units and now runs a variety of excellent games. And then there were those missing pallets with piles of Playdates. Panic's been trying to track them down over the past couple weeks.
What the
We checked up on our inventory levels, and it was a little bit short. We contacted the shipping center, and they're like, yeah, weird.
Like a Bermuda pallets, Triangle type thing.
For reals. These pallets, FedEx said they were delivered, but we have no trace of them. But another thing you might want to know that's weird is 2 weeks after your pallets went missing, two other pallets were delivered by FedEx to construction site next door instead of our shipping warehouse. And they sent an amazing picture of two pallets of Playdates just sitting where they're building a Circle K in North Las Vegas. The person that signed for the two pallets that they recovered was the same person that signed for the two pallets that they have yet to recover. So there's a lot of research happening right now. Now, keep in mind, we know the serial numbers of every unit, so we know exactly what serial numbers are missing. Seven of them have been registered to people that live in North Las Vegas. So anyways, I'll keep you posted, or legally not keep you posted, depending on where this goes. That's a fun way to say it. Wow, this sucks. That sure sucks.
I mean, for you to mention that 70,000 units have been sold?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much was the Playdate again, Barrett?
$200.
$200. Okay. So 200,000 units? That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's almost three times as amount as they have sold.
No, 20,000 units. What's the math?
I'm not good at this.
Did I do the math
2,000
right?
Units. It's 2,000 units.
2,000 units.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
That's so, a lot more understandable.
It's a lot, yeah. It's a lot.
I'm gonna say like that's
they're gonna be okay.
It's a big truck. Maybe they're gonna be all right. 70,000 times 200.
I need both of y'all to host more together.
That's it. Look,
especially when there's math involved.
I got my calculator out and I was starting to go. Started saying the numbers and I was just like, oh, Andy must have this.
I failed college algebra three times. I dropped it three times.
Yeah,
it's not that I failed it. I gave up on it. Like I didn't give them the W.
Yeah, it's 2,000.
Yeah, maybe they'll be okay then.
70, yeah, maybe they'll be okay.
70,000 sold.
Oh, here we
this is actually a great story.
Panic. No need to panic. Great job, everybody.
This is a great story for everybody all around.
We do have some more Playdate info here, though.
This is going to be a weird ass, like, this is going to be a doc that nobody watches on Hulu.
Yeah, 100%. Is it profitable? Sasser says, no. Well, we've been running the numbers a lot, and Playdate actually makes respectable amounts of money. But the challenge we have right now is that there are a lot of people assigned to the project. The company plans to move some people to other projects. Panic also makes Mac apps and publishes games such as Firewatch, Untitled Goose Game, and the upcoming Time Flies. It can definitely be a profitable enterprise, Sasser said at the Playdate. That's our goal for this year. What happened to the long-delayed stereo dock? The Playdate add-on was announced in 2021, which was way too early, he acknowledged. He said the core reason for the delay was a reliance on Panic's factory partner to write the device's software. We've since purchased the source code to the software, just to give you a hint on where we're at. So I'm excited to finish that thing up and get it out the door. So they're trying out here. Seems like there's a lot of setbacks. Real unfortunate scenarios all around.
Yeah. I mean, especially our math was an unfortunate scenario right there.
I hate us so much. I also apologize to everybody watching or listening and trying to find value.
Hayley Williams, Paramore.
Yeah, hey, you know what I mean? Oh my God, Andy, math, numbers, everything just gets so big. Yeah. But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I look?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
It's Friday energy on a Wednesday, everybody. Game Informer says they're proud to announce the new standalone Game Informer magazine subscription. Get 10 issues of print in your mailbox and also read the new issue digitally, all for just $20 for a full year. Please support by signing up today.
That's fantastic. Yes. This is essentially them saying, there's a way to directly fund this as opposed to going through the GameStop hoops and everything.
Yeah.
How about a way that affects us better financially? It's similar when we talk about Patreon, Tim.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah, you can, you know, you can go a lot of different areas to kind of support what we do here at Kinda Funny, but like doing this, subscribing through that website is the one that's going to best benefit Game Informer.
I'm just going to cut all the bullshit and all the niceties here. The reality here is this is them trying to maintain their jobs and trying to maintain what they have and show value to GameStop. So GameStop, when they are desperately looking for things to cut, can look at this and go, well, there's only literally a couple handfuls, if even, of people working here, and they're profitable and they're making money here.
Right.
So if you want to support that group, which you should, this is a great way to do it. Unfortunately, it's not going to support them directly, but it is a great way to try to protect them for inevitably when things go bad.
You're right.
So just putting that all out there. So it's a tough situation, and it does suck that at the end of the day, there's no guarantees in this, but this is a way to help.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, we're both doing it.
But it's also the less, I think the reason why I'm more excited about it is like, it's the less pain in the ass sort of path.
Yep.
To get this print
what
magazine.
What they're offering. Like, here's the value.
I know they've done this stuff through GameStop forever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with the GameStop bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want the power-up rewards and all that stuff. Like a
power to the players.
What are they called?
Power to the players.
They say that?
Yeah.
Power to the players.
Mm-hmm.
Team Power to the Players.
Power to the Players, everybody.
I get it. That's a good saying.
And shout out to the Game Informer team. Absolutely. A PlayStation Store spring sales now live, including deals on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, NBA 2K24, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, and PlayStation...
Persona 3 Reload. So if you haven't gotten that yet, check that out.
I don't know if there's a cooler game
cover art.
Persona 3 Reload?
Persona 3 Reload.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Yeah, a little boy with the blue and the red. It's just the colors are so striking.
Yeah.
It's strike my favorite like visual looking thing of the year. Like I would have seen this as a kid and be like, I want to draw that, you know?
That
but it's really like it's really the color blue that they're using with like that harsh, strong red, super saturated.
What was the
looking.
First thing that you drew when you were a kid?
Oh god, probably
like, not when you're just like a little kid,
Twisters,
but like
Twisters, Tornadoes.
Oh, I thought you meant Twister from Rocket
no,
Power.
No, I loved John Tornadoes as a kid.
Yeah,
I was obsessed with Bill Pullman and the movie Twister.
I love that for you.
Jurassic Park,
okay.
Dinosaurs.
Okay.
Really into dinosaurs.
I
drew dinosaurs and tornadoes at the same time sometimes.
No way.
I was feeling crazy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
You've seen this before.
Yeah.
It's fire as shit.
I love it. I drew...
Oh, Bill Paxton. Sorry, not Bill Pullman. Was Bill Pullman in that movie too? No, he was Independence Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both recipes.
Zero was the first character I ever drew from Mega
really?
Man.
Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I had a character that I totally ripped off from Mega Man that I would draw sketches of. His name was Bleepo.
Cool.
He was a robot.
Great.
He would fight, and I got this from the movie Con Air, he would fight Cyrus the Virus.
Love that.
And it Cyrus was computer viruses that would like mess up the robots. And it's like, you know, I'm still trying to sell that idea. What's up?
Bill Pullman's alive.
Ooh. Great. That's great news for us.
The chat was like, wait, he's dead? He's dead. And people are coming to know he's alive.
Oh, that's great for us.
Yeah. He's alive, everybody.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Can't believe we saved him.
Glad we did that. I'm glad we came together.
Holy shit. April's PlayStation Plus lineup, Mortals of Avium on PS5.
Matt Batson says $50, which is a Levitard bit. Whenever somebody says that somebody's dead, that's a $50 fine. $50 in.
Minecraft Legends on PS4 and PS5. Skull the Hero Slayer on PS4. The Overwatch 2 Mega Bundles, also free and exclusive to the PlayStation Plus members. I don't know why I added a the there. GDC concluded with nearly 30,000 attendees and featured more than 1,000 speakers, 325 exhibitors, and 730 sessions, workshops, roundtable discussions, and networking opportunities. Numbers. Metal Hellsinger is coming to VR in 2024.
Holy shit.
Wow, that's going to be insane.
I'm going to need to take some motion sickness pills because Metal Hellsinger is still one of my favorite games ever. That's a phenomenal video game.
No Rest for the Wicked launches on April 18th.
Woo!
At noon.
Woo! At noon? Oh, 9 here.
Yeah, 9 here. 9 here.
Oh, my God. I might come into the office, stream that at 9 a.m.
Ooh.
Right before Games Daily.
Wait, no rest for Andy either.
No.
Is that the like
Moon
beta
Studios
or whatever?
The what?
Is that like the pre-release thing or whatever? Because I thought this was
early access.
Early access, right?
Yeah, this is early access launch. But
gotcha.
It's one of those games where you're like, I couldn't tell this is early access. He fooled me. This game seems very, very damn good and developed and looking very promising.
It's time for a little thing I like to call You're Wrong. Will you correct us when we get things wrong? Missing Link says he just posted a, or they posted a link to the Marvel Rivals FAQ confirming it is free to play. We're committed to making the game accessible to all. Marvel Rivals is completely free to download and play. And Bandarasan says Universal City Walk does have a Super Nintendo World store, but it's small and it's all just Mario. See, I feel like they'll expand that stuff over time.
Here's a random one that isn't a You're Wrong, but it's from Kebabs, and it's something that excites me greatly. No Man's Sky had their orbital update today, and it adds ship customization. Holy shit, I lost about 80 hours to Starfield ship customization.
Yeah,
I'm very much looking forward to seeing what this is about, if it's something I might be into, because I really, really dug No Man's Sky, but I just, you know, a lot of the other games came out. And shout out to Kinda Funny best friend, Graham Reed.
Shout out to Graham Reed, dude.
For releasing Super Space Club today on Xbox for $14.99. Go support.
Very cool.
An amazing developer, a Kinda Funny best friend, through and through.
OG, dude.
Worked on one of the Beyond intros, worked with me on one of the early Gamescast intros before I even worked for Kinda Funny. Yeah. Graham Reed is the homie. Go buy Super
Graham
Space
Reed,
Club.
Graham Reed, I will credit as the first best friend I became friends with ever.
Yeah.
Like back at, like, I want to say it was PAX East
2015 or 2016.
No, this is, I was at IGN at the
time.
Oh, shit. Like PAX East, like 2013, 12, maybe. Wow, anyway, he's an OG and he is awesome. Very talented, too. Yeah. Oh, do you have the any super chats for me?
Shoot, Tim. That's a great question. That is a great question.
We're just two guys. Just having a great time.
I'm opening right now. I'll tell you what, though. I'm opening it right now. It's telling me switch your account because I'm logging into my other YouTube. I'm opening it right now, though, Tim. I got you, homie.
Thank you for getting
Let me switch this little bad boy. Nope, I'm not logged into Kinda Funny here, Tim. Kind of forgot this is a thing we did.
Everybody, we're stepping in. It's a Wednesday.
All right, Tim, you ready for some super chats?
I'm ready for some super chats.
We're just
going
to blaze through them, all right?
Yeah.
Bander SN sent in $5. Mike in 2024. Who the hell is Galactus, Mike in 2024? Why didn't y'all tell me about Galactus?
Who the hell's Galactus?
Galactus. I'm sure someone already made that joke.
People in the chat were also saying it's Galacta or something. She's like the daughter of Galactus.
Sick.
Oh, yeah. Stepdaughter.
Think about that process.
Luke Jones writes in, just want to throw this out there in regards to Marvel Rivals. This is what I want a PS All-Stars 2 to be instead of a fighting game.
Pretty, I mean, that would make sense for the style of games PlayStation makes, right? Like third-person shooters, right? Let's let them fight in a third-person perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Jiraiya Music says, as a producer, I really liked the way you talked about the way the music in Stellar Blade hit in battle. How could I get into making music for games?
I mean, I'd probably have like some sort of reel or something like that. I don't really know what the music process is in game development.
Yeah, I feel like making great music is like step one. But I would say like just following the right people in the space is like probably the best advice I can give. T-Lopes is somebody I talk about a lot. T-E-E-L-O-P-E-S, I think it is. Yeah. And then Dale North is another great example. Dale North has been an OG in, I first found him from like video game remixes back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and has went on to do so many amazing like real video game soundtracks. And following his Twitter has been very fascinating over the years because he really gets into the behind the scenes work of like his production, but then also like what makes game music different than just normal music. You know what I mean?
Here's like one thing,
dynamic vibes to it all.
One thing you can do that it's something that I've been trying on my Twitter account with when it comes to voice acting is like adding voices to games that don't have spoken dialogue. If it's just like two characters with written dialogue, I've gone in there and try to like do that. I think it'd be cool if you were to record a boss fight with the music off, like just footage and it's just like sound effects and character barks or whatever, and then add your own music and be like, I added a different soundtrack to this game or whatever, and that stuff could go viral and people could get their eyes on it or whatever. I think that'd be a kind of a neat and creative way to go about it.
And Cameron Kennedy brings up a very good point. Carter Harrell, who is the amazing, amazing man behind all of the Kinda Funny in review jingles and all of that stuff. He also does music for games and like even the job that he does now. Like he does some really interesting stuff with like evolving dynamic music. So yeah, reach out to Carter Harrell. I'm sure he would be a great resource as well. Barrett. You're hanging here. Oh, you're reading the super chats.
Yeah. I was just reading the super chats for y'all. Unless Andy, are you logged back in, or you can figure it out?
I don't know where you find these fucking things.
No, I have nothing to add. I get cautious about like adding your own stuff on top of art that's already been made to send to people. Just because I think that could come across a certain way to certain people. That's just like my personal takeaway from it. But yeah, go to events, make a reel, get acquainted with people, you know? That's how we all did the damn thing in our industry, you know?
Yeah.
Carlos Carval with a $5 super chat says, sending this just because we love you guys. Oh, and Andy, thank you for setting the universe right with the Dragon Dogma 2 review. Hashtag Greg sucks.
Somebody had to do it.
Thank you very, very much.
Kebabs sends in $5 from New Zealand. It says specifically NZ $5. So I don't know what that translates to here. If consoles drop a disc drives, limited run games would be doomed as well, right? You wouldn't be able to play them at all past PS5 Slim.
I would say no, because I feel like so much of the physical stuff is for collectors, not actually playing it. I know that there's people that do play it, but the reality is, the amount of music artists that put out like cassette tapes as like special limited edition things is like very cool. And I mean, Limited Run Games does that as well. They're not expecting people to actually listen to it with cassettes. I'm sure people do, but that percentage I would imagine is like less than 5 compared to the people that are just buying it to have the thing.
And there's still like the Nintendo market as well. Like I could see Nintendo sticking onto physical way past like PS, PlayStation and Xbox do.
Cause they see themselves as toys. They always have. And I can imagine a world where Nintendo games are next to the Legos.
Yeah. And that's the most that I see from Limited Run is them doing like Nintendo specific ones. They do other consoles and stuff, but like,
no, you're right.
I see,
yeah,
like them go around. It's usually like a Switch cartridge. Dean 8149 sends into a $5 super chat. Says, love taking a trip to the Nintendo store when I go into the city, but I do miss when it used to be the Pokemon Center.
Yeah, I never got to go there when it was the Pokemon Center, which sounds so freaking sick. But I did go to the Pokemon Center in Japan. Oh my god,
dude, Andy. I was just about to bring that up. Like whenever I see images of that, I'm so mad.
The Mewtwo?
That I haven't been there. It looks so sick.
It's so sick, dude.
Last one, Kyle Nelson sends in a $5 super chat. Says Game Informer subscription is USA only. That sucks for the rest of us in North America. I'm sorry for you Canadians.
Kyle Nelson, here's the thing. Send me $50 on Venmo. I'll take a picture of every page. And I'll send you a JPEG very slowly, one a day. So you
why do you get 50?
Just, huh?
Why do you get 50?
Oh, because of the conversion,
Got it. That's NZ money. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Canadian money.
Andy, this has been a blast. Me and you hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Completely nailed it. I don't think there's any faults in our stars, they say. Y'all about to go play some Diablo. That's going to be a ton of fun. If you're watching on Twitch, you can just hang out and you're in the right place. If you're watching on YouTube, though, you're going to have to make the jump over to the other stream to enjoy all of them with some NVIDIA RTX DLSS goodness going down to hell in Diablo 4. It's going to be a blast. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.